AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
It's 11:33 in Tahiti, and you're listening to Night Call.
And welcome back to Night Call, a podcast for those strange days and lonely nights. I'm Molly Lambert here in Los Angeles, and with me is
Tess Lynch, and in New York City we have
Emily Yoshida.
We are all here today to take some of your night calls and talk about some haunted dolls. As always, give us a night call at 240-46-NIGHT or send us an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. You can also text us at 240-46-NIGHT.
Have the texts been popping off?
You know, we gotten some texts. I was really excited. The first text came in and I was legitimately like, ooh, a text.
It's like the magic of 1999 all over again, or whenever you got your first text message.
We should get a fax machine
or a
going.
Pager. A pager would be ideal, just like 911.
Yeah, 911.
143.
Haunted doll alert.
Yeah.
We got a message from the ice cream truck ghost caller that cut off. She was like, hey, I'm going to explain.
Well, we found out a while ago.
Yeah, right? But I just wanted to say on the podcast to her, please call back in and tell us what happened with the ice cream truck ghost.
It's such a cliffhanger.
Make sure you've got four bars. Please call us again.
I mean, I was also like, I hope she wasn't taken by the ghost the middle of the phone call was my first thought. But yeah, we wanted to talk about haunted dolls again a little bit. This isn't so much haunted as just in the category of dolls in general. Have you guys been getting a lot of haunted doll feedback?
I haven't seen any. I haven't really been putting out the feeler for haunted dolls, to be honest, but yeah.
Tess, how about you? Any haunted doll feelings?
My cousin Molly, who is really, really cool, she enjoyed the haunted doll podcast a lot, and she requested we do a Ouija board.
Ooh, great idea.
Which is a great idea, but honestly, I'm a little scared.
Well, good, you should be.
Of the
power of magic.
Of the yes board.
Well, I'm a little scared of dolls, is what I realized, too. They're kind of terrifying.
No, as we've explored over many podcasts, but let's keep going.
Well, what happened to me was I had a doll encounter, like, right after that podcast came out where we talked about the haunted dolls. I was in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles, and I saw this girl who was carrying like it wasn't a full-size doll, but it was like bigger than a Barbie. It was like a weird, large size of doll.
You're talking like a 2-foot
doll. Like an American Girl doll?
Yeah, I guess. I feel like it was even bigger than that. It was like very large. This is like, she's probably in her 20s, but the girl had a green mohawk, and then the doll was dressed identically like her with a green mohawk. And so, being the investigative reporter I am, I went over and I was like, "Hi, may I talk to you about your doll?" And she was like, "Yes, you may." She was like, "Oh, well, I customized it myself and I sell them. I have like an Instagram account that's like something customs, and it's a ball jointed doll." And then I plunged into the rabbit hole of ball jointed dolls, which is a whole world of doll stuff I knew nothing about.
Well, wait, doesn't ball-jointed doll just mean that it's articulated, that you can bend its limbs?
It's like the community, because I was telling somebody about this, and they were like, oh, yeah, like people used to do with Blythe dolls on LiveJournal. And I was like...
My friend Lauren does Blythe dolls for everyone. She, you know, she'll like, if she really likes you, she'll make a Blythe doll in your image.
Yeah.
It's
like, what's people a who, Blythe doll?
A Blythe doll?
Oh.
I think it's a Japanese doll. Like this doll that this girl had, and a lot of these dolls I think are like Japanese dolls that you can then customize.
Yeah.
It's like you buy the body and then you like paint it yourself and freak it.
Well, I think you can also like change out the heads. You can change out the hair.
You can do all kinds of things with them. And so what people do is they customize them, or they like keep customizing them and changing them all the time. And then they pose them in elaborate setups everywhere they go.
Like, you can build doll houses that are, you know, they have like mid-century modern Blythe dolls with like the mid-century modern house, and they're dressed in,
But they're physical dolls. They're not, they're this physical isn't like dolls. A virtual thing. Okay. All right.
No, they're physical dolls that you place in real spaces, but then you like have an Instagram account for them that's like the life of the doll.
Sure.
If the doll is a person.
Well, isn't that like, what was it, Socality Barbie or something?
I mean, Barbie herself. My friend Zlatan does the Barbie Instagram, which is like an amazing doll Instagram, where it's like, he just started doing it for fun because he like worked for Barbie and he liked doing it, but it's like Barbie's Instagram, and it's really well done. You know, it's
I think they may have poked fun at this on SNL.
They did. They did a whole sketch about it, and I was like, "That's my friend Zlatan's Barbie Instagram. He like invented the Barbie social media presence, and it's really good."
Well, that's why I love the Sylvanian family's Instagram.
Oh yeah,
because and the Twitter actually mostly. I like the Twitter because even though it feels like more, it should be more of an Instagram account, there's something about following a very chill, like the chillest Instagram you could possibly imagine, but following it on Twitter. So having it in your feed amid people like screaming about the apocalypse and about Roseanne and whatever. And then just having some chill bunnies being like, spring is a time for enjoying your friends. I love that. I love to just retweet it, you know, in the middle of a crisis.
I have one like that that's real cats, not doll cats, that live in a forest. I think they live in Hokkaido, and they are like cafe cats.
Ah, yes.
But they're just cats who live in a forest and have the best life I can possibly imagine. There's like a bridge and a stream, and they just like chase birds in the trees all day. And I always retweet them because it is like, it's like a break from, I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I liked about the internet.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
If you need a mattress that will help you get a really good sleep, you should check out Lisa Mattresses. And you can get $160 off at lisa.com/nightcall, which is the deepest discount we've ever offered. Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 sold and plants one tree for every order received. They've donated 23,000 mattresses thus far and have 11,000 plus 5-star reviews. Lisa Mattresses are loved by 300,000 happy sleepers and counting. It's a socially conscious company with a mission to end bedlessness in America. The Lisa mattress was designed to provide support and pressure relief to every body type and sleep type for a deeper night's sleep. Sleep is very important to me,
I personally love sleeping. It's one of my top 10 activities to do. And ever since I got the Lisa mattress, I have been sleeping much better and getting a much deeper sleep and waking up feeling more refreshed because it really is a great mattress. It's very squishy and I like it, and it helps me feel like my bedroom is like a sanctuary away from the world where I can relax and recharge and face the day having slept well on my Lisa mattress. Check out Lisa, and you can get $160 off at lisa.com/nightcall.
Wait, but we derailed you. You approached a woman with a green mohawk carrying a doll.
Well, that's
with a
just
green
how
mohawk.
I learned about, well, you know, the ball jointed. But what was interesting about it was that it was a male doll. She was a woman and the doll was like a hot guy. And then I realized that like a lot of this community is women and gay men customizing dolls that are like hot guys. And I thought that was really interesting because so much of the conversation about sex dolls is about men with female sex dolls. But I was like, ooh, these women are like making a hot guy doll and then like giving it life.
Did you read Allison Davis's piece in New York about this, the male sex dolls?
I haven't read it yet, but I saw it on the newsstand and I was like, oh, like two's a trend.
Yeah.
Guys.
Well, it's funny because they're like, you know, obviously there's more of a market for female sex dolls, but like the people who want the male sex doll are very exacting and very specific in their demands. And I mean, it doesn't sound that fun, but I think half the fun of it, I guess, if you have one, is just designing it, like not the sex part, but just having like designing your perfect man that just smiles pleasantly and like lies on the floor.
Well, yeah, I also like the idea that people that like need stuff like that can just opt out of having to date regular people.
Yes,
that might not want that experience.
Sure.
If you're someone who should probably date a sex doll instead of a human being because you want to like control
good to self-identify
all their feelings, maybe. Yeah. Take yourself out of the sexual marketplace and buy that doll. First, one more doll thing. Tess.
Oh, well, it's an odd segue from the sex dolls to newborn baby dolls.
Oh, is
sure,
that what they
all
are?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it's just full circle, right? I mean,
exactly. The circle of life. I think it became kind of like a trend piece like 10 years ago, around 2008 or so. The reborn doll fandom movement thing, where people, and there are a lot of different reasons why people would get an extremely realistic newborn doll. Some of them have heartbeats and they look like they breathe and stuff. And some of them, you know, like they've been used therapeutically for people who have lost their kids. And that's like a great, you know, if it helps people, that's great. But it also, you know, they become kind of collector's items. These dolls, they're very expensive.
Robot babies.
But you can have them made. I mean, it's like the design process is really
interesting. What's it called when you design them?
Reborning. It has a verb. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy because it's like you can buy the parts and do it yourself, which results in like a really awful looking doll. Because newborns, you know, with the new, they're not like the
they're
most
not supposed
aesthetically
to be cute.
Exactly.
They're just supposed to look like a real baby, which is a different thing.
Does it just take you into the uncanny valley, though?
That's the thing. And apparently there was a big problem because people would have these dolls and they would treat them like babies. So sometimes they'd even have them in car seats in the car, or they'd even just have them like lying on this. Yeah. So whether it's in a car seat in your locked car that you're not in, or like lying on the floor of your car, people were calling the police and being like, there's an infant in a car. And then they show up and it would take them a minute to be like, oh,
I am like clutching my chest.
Yeah. What is the point of having a reborn if you don't take it in with you when you go to the grocery store? Like, isn't the whole point to have the, it's like the training doll that you have to tell you like not to have sex when you're
right,
a teenager.
Right, but again, like to bring it back to the sex doll, maybe it's for people who don't want the full responsibility of a real relationship with a baby.
There's like that.
I want a baby I can leave in the car sometimes.
There's also a
and
stigma
Instagram.
Because, yeah, I mean, The Guardian wrote about this a while ago, and they tried to interview people who had reborn dolls, and a few of them were like, don't use my name because of the uncanny valley effect, people are just like really creeped out by it in ways that are difficult for them to express. So there's a stigma attached. And a lot of these people are, you know, grandparents to like people whose kids have grown up and they like wish that they had a baby again.
Oh, this is a Black Mirror.
It's a Black Mirror. Yeah.
Do you guys think that there are people who just want like babies that never grow up?
For sure there are.
Like a forever kitten.
Yeah. Well, that's the weird thing, too, is they have these, like, the stuffed animals that breathe and have heartbeats and are used for people with dementia, you know, and apparently it's very effective. It's like a calming device and stuff. And they're not creepy. But the human version is super creepy.
I feel like the thing about the Uncanny Valley is, like, the closer you try to approximate realism, the more it opens up, you know? But, like, if you go in the stuffed animal direction...
But why is that? I mean, because if it looks exactly like a real kitten...
Because it doesn't ever look... I brought this up on another one, but I watched this show called, like, Animal Babies in the Wild that turned out to be, like, they were putting... It was called Spy in the Wild. They put robot baby animals amongst real baby animals. But it was, like, you could just... The robots were all so scary, yeah. And the fact that they were surrounded by real, incredibly cute baby animals just made you more aware.
Right.
But some of the baby animals, like, accepted the robot as one of their own, because they were just like, it's
really?
Just a jacked up baby.
Which kinds of animals do you remember? Kind
of all of them. They all, but again, it's because they're babies. They're just like, right. We're not going to, like, turn on this maybe baby thing.
Right.
Well, we have a really exciting night call this week.
We have a night call from a special friend of the pod. Friend of the pod.
Hey guys, so it's Nicole from It's Happening with Snooki and Joey, and I have a night call for you guys. So I totally believe in aliens, and I always have this presence of aliens in my house. I know it sounds crazy, but the Greys, I've always been not like attracted to, but always like interested in. And I always feel like there's alien presence around me ever since I was little. So can you tell me about the Greys and what I've been feeling?
Wow. Thank you so much, Nicole. That was Nicole Snooki Pulitzi of TV and podcast fame, who has a podcast also produced by our dear Ben Hosley here at Audio Boom. I mean that I've never heard of Greys being like a presence, like a ghost in a house, you know, like a possessing spirit or a resident spirit in a physical space. But
to my mind, it's more like I feel like I've heard people talk about angels being aliens.
Yes.
About the idea of like a positive spiritual presence that accompanies you. That's like the friendly aliens helping you in your life. I feel like that might be what Nicole has.
The aliens who have evolved to the point where they can kind of be like spiritually present without being physical presences.
Ooh. Right. Or they're like trying to touch you from the other realm.
Oh. Yeah. I was just reading about, I mean, kind of related, but how children, like Emily sent us something about, you know, a child describing like a kind of ghost presence.
Oh, yeah. It was this viral tweet that was going around that's actually completely terrifying. And even weirder, I think that whatever publication that was seemed like some kind of neighborhood newsletter or something was like, here's a cute story from a child about the 14-year-old pregnant girl who haunts her in her house at night and her's her second mommy.
With yellow eyelashes.
With the eyelashes.
On the other hand, kids do say the darndest things.
Well, that's true. I was looking into this, and it says that that one theory to explain why children might see ghosts more often is that it's called the electromagnetic spectrum theory, or maybe that's just what I called it in my notes. But it says adult humans can only see 400 to 700 NM, whatever that is, on the electromagnetic spectrum. UVA light falls just below visible light at 400 to 315. Infrared light falls just above at 750 to 1. No idea what measurement this is, but it's basically like children, young kids see things at 380, which is in the UV range. So their vision is actually different than adults. And theoretically, if spiritual presences were visible in that range, children could see them, but adults could not.
Wow, Tess, are you the Egon?
I think maybe for today.
I always thought Emily was the Egon.
Well, I went very deep on this, but it's interesting.
Emily might be the Venkman.
I mean, I think we trade off. It ebbs and flows.
This is a night call, listeners. You can tell us which Ghostbusters we are.
Yeah, should probably put a poll out and figure it out.
A Slimer.
But maybe Nicole.
Guys, do you know that they only made Ghostbusters 2 because of the success of the Ghostbusters cartoon and the Ghostbusters action figures?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They were so successful that they made Ghostbusters 2. And then they made...
I guess it was a long gap, yeah.
It was. And they made Annie Potts dress as her character from the cartoon, which is not what she looked like in Ghostbusters
1. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You went on this really deep Ghostbusters thing a while ago.
Bustin' makes me feel good. 2 is a lot more loosey-goosey than 1, which is what makes it really good. It's a really late 80s movie in every way. But Bobby Brown, Bobby Brown does the theme on our own, which is really good. And then he like appears in the next frame after. He's like, hey, the Ghostbusters, I love you guys.
Oh my God.
I think we should have a final word for Nicole. She asked us a good question. You're right.
Sorry, I got on a Ghostbusters sidetrack.
Do you think it's possible that Nicole is... not haunted malevolently. Is she visited by invisible grays?
Well, I mean, it could be a kind of like more of a like an arrival aliens type situation where it's not like they're here to really announce themselves, but they're more just sort of gathering data and as a benign presence and just sort of like installing themselves and collecting information, and they just happen to have chosen her house as a stakeout point. Yeah, I don't know. That would be mine.
Let me say this, is that if I were an alien, especially if I were running a simulation, right, I would definitely be visiting the cast of the Jersey Shore more than anyone else.
If I wanted to like take a temperature check on culture.
Yeah. If I were from another planet, that's what I would watch almost exclusively. Too.
It's been long enough for the radio waves from Jersey Shore's first season. At least to reach the nearest star system.
Has it?
Yeah, I think it's been, I think 6 years is the amount of time. So but not long enough for it to come back. So they would have to have some kind of faster than light speed travel in order to get, like, they would have to, the sequence of events would have to be, they saw the first season of Jersey Shore, they didn't finish it. They watched like 2 episodes and they're like, we've got to go check this out. Hopped in their faster than light speed travel, came to Earth. And by that point, it's 2018. Snooki has a show on Audio Boom. And she's
What are the odds that Snooki might herself be a gray who was left here as a child by the grays?
I think we need more information for that.
If anyone is human, it's Snooki. You know what I mean?
Fine. I'm just saying, what if it was like an ET situation where somebody leaves you on a planet and then you're trying to get home and they're trying to
tell her. Only person who wouldn't be body snatched, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's okay, fine. Well, maybe the aliens, I mean, whatever the case may be, it seems like the aliens don't have bad intentions for Nicole. It seems like they want her to thrive.
Yes.
From Audio Boom and the minds behind Mafia comes Covert, a brand new podcast delving into the shadows to reveal the murky world of international espionage and top secret military operations from around the world. Every Monday, Covert takes listeners on a heart-pounding journey through the most dangerous military operations of all time, bringing us to the front line of history's greatest special forces missions. Through extensive research, expert analysis, eyewitness accounts from journalists, and stories from the soldiers who survived these operations, Covert gives a comprehensive overview of these missions and how they changed the world. In season 1, host Jamie Rennell takes us inside the world's most infamous covert operations carried out by secret military agencies around the world, including the assassination of Osama bin Laden, how 2 Israeli snipers foiled Syria's plan to develop a nuclear bomb, the real story that inspired the movie Black Hawk Down, and the harrowing tale of a British major's escape from 2,000 heavily armed militants. Subscribe to Covert on Apple Podcasts and every other listening destination.
Speaking of women making a way for themselves in the big city, or the Jersey Shore, or wherever the case may be.
On the East Coast.
A story came out in New York Magazine today about the fake heiress, Anna Delvey. That was her
Alias.
Her alias.
Her
alias
Anna
Delvey.
Anna Sorokin, yeah. I think.
She was, she claimed to be from some German, unspecified wealthy German family, but was in fact, it turned out to be from a kind of middle class Russian family. And she basically ran a scam that spanned a couple of years, at least, in New York, where she was just hanging out with the moneyed classes of New York and staying in fancy hotels in Soho and not paying her bill and just kind of floating on this claim that she was a lady of means and wanted to open an arts club. It's a pretty great story. It reads like it wants to be adapted into a movie, and I'm almost certain that it will be.
I was saying, she's in jail now. She's at Rikers, which is also a free place for her mm-hmm. to stay.
Scam your way all the way to free room and board.
Yeah. She was in Rikers, and she was very like, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. She was like weirdly chill about it, which yeah. was sort of funny. But Tess is saying there's actually a Vanity Fair story about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, because
that predates
one of the people she screwed over who had to, like, when she couldn't pay for some vacation somewhere. I think it was when she went to Morocco or something, and she couldn't pay yep. her bill, and she was there with somebody and then a Vanity Fair photo editor who put the bill for them on her like company card or something, her company Amex.
Somebody who worked for Vanity Fair did it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then wrote about it?
Yep.
That's yeah. the most Vanity Fair story I've ever heard.
$62,000.
Which apparently was as much as she got paid in a year.
Yeah, that she said that she kind of didn't think twice about putting up the money because she did it for work.
And because she was yeah. like, this is going to make a great Vanity Fair story.
Right.
Well, I mean, this was like something like 2 years, maybe.
It's like all Vanity Fair's best stories are about people scamming rich people
Insiders,
or
yeah.
rich people murdering their wives.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a very honest account, other than a couple of times where it was like, she really brought out these good traits in me. Like, she wasn't perfect, but her honesty made me think she was a good friend.
Yeah,
oh, also,
she
paid
like,
for everything. And it's like, just yeah. put that, yeah. just like, let's not.
You said it was also like, she's like, her spontaneity inspired
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Oh, but yeah. like, as a whole, it was, I mean, a pretty, like, she earned that the right to write that profile. It was pretty intense.
Well, what struck me about the cut story was just how it seemed like nobody actually liked her at all.
Well, because she was apparently really rude. She would say classist things. Like, she was yeah. really blunt and kind of, like, socially awkward and would just sort of, like, pay people off to hang around
but
her.
But all of those things just make her more believably upper class.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing, though. So many of the things that she was dropping money on, I felt seemed a little basic. Like, at least they were the kinds of things that I would do if I was pretending to be a upper class person, like with my knowledge of things that rich people do, which I'm sure that they're like she got a private jet through Blade, which is like they do like helicopter rides and stuff here in New York. But it's like a thing that, you know, I would get press releases for because it was supposed to be like the Uber of helicopters. And now Uber has helicopters. But
I don't think I'd trust an Uber helicopter driver. Are they amateurs?
Well, I think the whole thing is that she was a rich person renter. So it's like
right.
she was staying at all of these posh hotels and apparently going to these meetings with real estate agents, but always
yeah.
kind of like flaking at the last minute, being right. like, oh, I'm really interested in this really nice penthouse. Oh, I have to go. Maybe in the next one.
It was a good scam while it worked. And also the sort of like pan-European, nobody knows where the money comes from
right.
thing is like totally.
Yeah. It's in a UBS account somewhere.
Yeah,
it's
like
just
very believable.
I was just going to say it's a very good piece of performance art, if you want to view it as that, just because everybody who looks stupid as a result of this, I don't feel too bad about, because it's just...
Yeah, I was saying, like, I don't care about her scamming, like, hotels or rich people, but she also scammed, like, desk clerks and stuff,
yeah.
and that's
yeah.
where I was like,
no.
okay, she's a sociopath,
yeah.
you know?
Well, it's like when somebody is not nice to you, but they spend their money on you, and then... when they, whoops, can't find their credit card and you have to pay like $300 bill for dinner, I just love that so many people made that excuse for her when she couldn't pay for something. Anything that, like, for you or I, if we showed up somewhere and, like, whoops, I don't know, like, none of my credit cards are working. Here's a book full of credit card numbers, by the way. Yeah. Run that. Everybody's just like, oh, she has so much money. She doesn't know what to do with it. She doesn't know how to keep track of it. Because
who else would be like, can I borrow $60,000?
Well, but the interesting thing was, so with the trip with Morocco, the way that she found herself on the hook for $60,000, the friend who wrote the piece, was because Anna got there, had rented out, like, you know, this villa and like a 5-star hotel that came with like a maid and all of this stuff, and then basically said that her card had been declined, and they were almost like held hostage at this hotel until someone put up a card. But also what was interesting is that the writer said that at one point Anna PayPal'd her $5,000, and the way that, you know, Anna had like had any money to spend, because she did have some cash, like, you know, throughout the piece, it's like, well, she took us to this fancy club and had bottle service and she paid the tab and it was fine, was some like really complicated, or maybe just really complicated to me who doesn't understand it, way of cashing bad checks and then getting like a loan back and having the cash and taking out all the cash. So, but
it's like a Ponzi scheme, just with yourself, though.
With yourself, exactly. And so she was
I was impressed by the like level of it. Yeah. I was like, wow, this takes planning.
But what was weird was the writer was like, she gave me $5,000, which it's like, why do that at all? And she said it didn't
because
even seem like
bait. Because
it makes
her a mark, because it's like, then you trust that person that they have money if somebody gives you $5,000.
Right. And everybody wants to flatter themselves that they're in the social circle of this European heiress. Like, you know, to admit that maybe you've been duped is not just the humiliation of being duped. It's also like, oh, your life is that much less exciting.
Yeah. It's very believable that she blended in. And she just went so far as like a sort of unassuming looking white girl who was like, I'm from Europe, and like,
I don't remember who, but someone on Twitter said that they could tell that she wasn't rich because she didn't do her hair. Oh yeah,
she didn't have that rich girl hair.
Yeah,
that all rich girls have.
But to me, I saw it and I was like, that's such rich girl hair that she's like going against rich girl
hair. Somebody else was like, oh, think how far she could have gotten if she was like more hot. And I was like, no, being sort of like basic worked in her favor because it made her just look sort of like rich and European.
She was pretty.
Well, it put me in the whole story put me in big time nostalgia mode for Carrie Farrell, the hipster grifter, which was like a real golden age of blogging story that I feel like everybody who was around the internet or had a job where you just read the internet all day remembers fondly. But that was of a very different scale, and that, you know, that one also simultaneously, like, the best grifts like shed an interesting light on the milieu on which is being grifted.
Yeah, because she wasn't asking for that much money.
No.
She only asked for stuff in small increments, and she like...
She just wanted a job advice, like, or like, I don't know, like very humble things.
Where is she now, I wonder?
I think she's in jail in Utah, or maybe she's not in jail anymore. I don't know, but she
I
was from
like she
Utah.
She should be let out of jail.
Yeah,
she
should. It's not that much money. I think in whole it was like $64,000, which is just how much Anna took from the Vanity Fair photo editor. So I don't know.
Have you guys ever been grifted? We wanted to talk about if we have our own grifting experiences,
or if we're unscammable.
I've never been. I don't know. I feel like I have good scamming radar. But then there was this company that was like trying to get me to, like, I don't know, to work with them on some film, and I thought I had such a red alert go off, and this was like in 2009. I just felt like everything was a scam then. And I, you know, didn't end up working with them, but then I saw some ad of theirs in like Vogue or something, just like this jewelry company. So I don't know, maybe they were for real, but I had a bad vibe.
Yep.
Tess, what about you? Have you ever been grifted?
I was, there was an attempted grift, but it was a pyramid scheme with a health juice type drink with some people I was working with, and they wanted me to buy like a case of it. And I agreed because I find myself always agreeing to like pretty much everything in the moment and then just being like, ah, what have I done? So I got home and then lied and said I had an allergic reaction to the drink and got out of it. But some like multi-level marketing schemes have come my way, but I've never like actually succumbed. What about you?
Are you tempted?
You know.
I was telling you, I was like a little bit hipster grifted by a girl I was sort of friends with who was living in a house with a bunch of people, and she was living in the basement and I think had promised she would pay rent and then sort of was like, I don't need to pay rent. I live in the basement. But she came and lived on my couch and just said they had kicked her out for no reason. And I think I let her stay on my couch for a month. And then she found a guy to date whose couch she could stay on. But I was saying, I was also like at that point, I was like in my early 20s and lived in this like really big house that had a whole floor that like none of us ever spent any time in.
Yeah, I think that there's something about that where it's similar to just a regular, it's similar to a regular kind of grift in which
through the internet, person especially. Will pray,
has a sense of your weaknesses or what you need in life, whether it be like more friends or like a person to work on your projects with or something. And it sucks because it makes you on guard about people, like, because I've definitely, since my experience with that, like anytime somebody gives me the same vibe, it's just like, what do you want from me right now? Which is just not the way that you should react to somebody being nice to you.
No, but sometimes you get a vibe from somebody early on that turns out to be true.
Yeah, that's
and
true. But you just don't want it to be true.
Yeah. Well, guys, don't get grifted out there.
Yeah, don't get grifted. Be careful.
Be careful.
You don't need to do background checks, but at least, you know, just look up people's .biz email address.
Well, we were going to take one more night call.
Hi, night call. This is Jeremy from Ventura. It's currently 2:17 a.m. I just got done playing a campaign of my favorite 90s video game, Age of Empires 2, and I was wondering if you guys had any favorite video games from the 90s or earlier. If you do, I want to hear about them. All right, I'm going to go to sleep now. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Jeremy from Ventura.
What a nice call.
What a great question. Tess was going to bring up Emily's piece about Myst.
Yes. Well, Myst was what? There was just
a CD-ROM game. It was a computer game. I don't know.
No. I know. I just mean it was how many years ago? Because you did it something for the 20th anniversary in 2013, I guess?
Yeah, it was 2013. Yeah.
That was a great
piece. And now it's
the
25th anniversary.
Yeah, wow. But yeah, Myst is pretty much the best. But I've also been playing a ton of Tetris.
I'm pro Tetris.
Yeah. A footnote about that Myst piece is that, like, it's actually, I realized this after I did it, like, that year, 93, is, like, the last great year of Seattle in many, many ways. It's the first season of Frasier starts then, and it's also when In Utero is released, so 93, Seattle.
I look forward to you writing this piece.
It's a very Bill Simmons Seattle.
There was one good year left in Seattle.
Yep.
I was going to say my favorite video, I have a lot of favorite video games. I like Super Nintendo games, I like Mario Kart, like all your Marios, Dr. Mario. But I really liked RPGs. Those are my favorite games. I liked Earthbound was my favorite game.
Ooh, David got really into Earthbound.
Oh, it's great. Mystical Ninja.
Yeah.
Just kind of all the RPGs.
Yeah, I mostly just played. All I really did video game-wise, the only console I ever owned was the PS1 in the 90s. And I don't even remember if that was in the 90s or maybe it was 2000 by the time I had it. But I definitely played those, like, PlayStation-era Final Fantasy games. Those are about all that I did.
Final Fantasy is
in general, in life.
Yeah.
You know what's a fun thing to have is the retro freak?
Mm-hmm.
The retro freak has been really awesome for all your retro gaming needs. That's how I've been playing Tetris, and they have like a bunch of different kinds of Tetris. But the one that I've been playing is the Tetris and Dr. Mario bundle, which is like real old school Tetris. Mm.
We were playing Wii the other day. My brother gave me a Wii a while ago, and you can download old games for the Wii. Adventure Island we downloaded, ooh. And I was like, ooh, this makes me feel like I'm in my cousin's basement playing the first Nintendo ever.
You guys are talking about Katamari Damacy, which is not a 90s game strictly,
yeah, but
definitely like an Can early O's time. Game.
Yeah, a game that we all love.
I play the soundtrack for Katamari Damacy every time I'm cooking dinner, pretty much, at least for like just 2 minutes, just to get into the mode.
I think it feels like a 90s game because it feels like a very 90s Japanese pop culture game. Like the vibe is very like, it's very much like a Cornelius vibe.
Yeah. You just
the
roll.
The music and everything.
We all like roll things.
Rolling through. Night roll.
Well, night callers, we would love for you to call in and tell us your favorite video games and what grifts you think should be pulled in the future.
Oh, and if you've been scammed, and if you have like a really spellbinding scamming story, please pass it on.
Ooh, yes. Please tell us your stories of getting scammed or scamming, but don't incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
Or if you were a scammer and you want to tell us your story, we don't have to identify you.
Just let us know.
If you're the ice cream truck ghost, please call in.
Please, but don't kill us. Just
don't
call.
Don't kill us. Just call.
Don't abduct.
Just visit us like a friendly flock of grays.
Exactly.
Well, that does it for this week's Night Call. Thank you so much for listening this week. You can follow us on Twitter at Night Call Pod, Instagram at Night Call Podcast, and Facebook at Night Call Podcast. And if you're enjoying the show and you haven't subscribed already, please do so at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and leave us a review and a rating. We would really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Don't get scammed.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.